course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined as always, by your other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain. This episode's going to have a theme, so I'm not
Yeah.
currently infected with any
That's right.
diseases of any kind that I know
Yeah. No,
of.
no, no. I'm not infected by that. I know it is, as we record this, it's just a tick past 5 my time. But I had a rough work day and everything else. So it was like as soon as I got off, I literally like chugged a beer and I literally am now drinking which it's a cheap plug for anybody. Cayman Jack canned margarita. Delicious. I am a margarita. I love margarita. Not like the icy kind, right? Like an on the rocks margarita. I love lime. This is good stuff. So I'm feeling pretty good right now. And because I get an empty stomach and I down some pretty quick. I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm ready to talk horror. And that's my excuse for kind of stumbling on the intro. So that's the latest installment of What Is Dave Drinking Today?
There you
But that's right. But on this episode, we are reviewing the Screambox movie Uncontained. That's coming up in a little bit. Before we get there, did you watch anything else?
Oh man, I've had a little bit of a busy week here. I had some family in town, just to going around places, but we watched some of From, so I'm still working on the final season that's out now. Something kind of, honestly, it was kind of spooky, and I didn't expect it to be spooky. When I had family in town, we went to Fort Pickens, which is a Civil War fort here in Pensacola. And a little fun fact about it's the only Union fort of the four, because there's like four. There's Fort Pickens, I think Fort Barrancas, and there's two other ones I can't remember off the top of my head. But Fort Pickens was a Union fort that, guarded the inlet where Pensacola is. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because we went to the fort, and I was thinking this is going to be your typical, little tour or whatever. But this fort has some really creepy spots. Like, they had these underground portions where they would like house prisoners, and they had these weird like tunnels that would run to like gunpowder caches and stuff like that. And it was really spooky, really dark and dank. And the entire time I was there, I was like, man, I was like, I wonder how much I would have to pay or what steps I would have to take to film a movie here. So I was like, I think I could make a good horror movie in this place.
It's crazy how much like hidden tunnels, hidden this and that there are out there that people aren't aware of, and different things, and when you talk about things, especially things that are tied to wars and whatnot, so there's a lot of death. So there's some spooky shit that can happen, right? There's a lot of those places have quote unquote haunted histories. And everything else, so it can get a little creepy up in those places.
Absolutely.
Outside of that, is that it? Is that what you watched?
That's it. Just watched them from, and I explored some Civil War fort.
All right. Well, I didn't watch for shit. So there you go. I have totally been on a punk rock documentary. Just binge here lately, so that's been like all my viewing. So, if you want to talk to me about, Dead Kennedys or Minor Threat or Circle Jerks or any of that shit, I'm good there. But not. I will say I watched. On a side note here, let's go down a little rabbit hole. On one punk documentary. There's one called I can't remember what it's called now. When Civilization, it's something to that effect, right? And there's like three parts of it, three installments. Right, the first one's about kind of the birth of punk, early years of punk. Well, the second one's kind of like about hair metal and shit like that in the 80s. But then the third one is about punk in like the 90s and stuff. But it keys in on like what they call quote unquote gutter punks, which is like punk rock kids that like are homeless and live in the street and different things. Anyway, the only reason I bring this up is because I watched this, right, thinking I was just diving into something about punk rock and it was going to be whatever, I know punk rock's a little angry at times and whatnot, but I didn't think much of it. Dude, this thing had me crying because it wasn't necessarily about punk rock, the music. It was about these kids. And dude, these kids' stories were sad. These homeless kids. And then afterwards, I'm the kind of guy that's like, afterwards, I'm like Googling, going down rabbit holes, learning, like, okay, well, what happened to these kids after the fact? That was even sadder. And as on some of these guys, I was like literally crying about this gutter punks documentary. So I highly advise anybody that has even a remote interest, check out. I think it's some Civilization when Civilization Ends Part Three, or I can't remember. Anyway, especially there was like this kid named Squid. It was his nickname in it. And I can't remember his girlfriend's name. Man, it's a tragic story, but it's pretty wild. So, but otherwise, horror related, I didn't really watch anything outside of the movie for this because I was totally down that rabbit hole. Still am, actually. I'm still like knee deep in that shit. So, all right. So let's move on to our first segment.
Order up. Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And it's time for our cheesy slasher of the week. It's where Ike and I present to you kind of a low budget or cheesy or goofy movie. And this week we present to you the movie Zombievers. And this movie was released March 20th, 2015, written by Al Kaplan, Jordan Rubin, and John Kaplan. And it was directed by Jordan Rubin. The movie stars Rachel Melvin, Courtney Palm, Lexi Atkins, and others, and is described as a fun weekend turns into madness and horror for a bunch of groupies looking for fun in a beaver-infested swamp. A couple of fun facts on this movie. The film does feature the film acting debut of musician John Mayer, excuse me for mispronouncing. And also, nine different puppets were used for the zombie beavers. Now, I have not seen the movie Zombievers, but I have heard of it. I don't know. It has a buzz on social media, right? People talking about Zombievers. I don't know if it's because it's just funny, it's ironic, whatever it is. But it's a I don't know. Kind of. I guess it doesn't really tie into our movie, but it's kind of an infestation type movie. I have you ever seen Zombievers?
So I have, but actually I have a weird story about the context around watching this movie.
Oh, this
So
all be good.
okay. So I'm going to dance around this a little bit because I obviously I don't want to incriminate myself.
I think you
But
already have.
a little bit. But I This movie came out in 2014. I watched it circa 2016, and I was hanging out with a buddy of mine, and I was partaking in some inebriates of some form. Just leave it at that, which
Much
made
like
this
I
a
am now.
right, and it made this movie very trippy, and I don't really remember a lot of it, other than the very weird looking beavers and very. I would say, what's the word? Gratuitous amount of nudity in this movie. Those are two distinct things I remember, and I feel like the nudity is just kind of a hallmark of like really cheesy B-list like movies. So, yeah, it's been a long time, so I couldn't give you like a play-by-play, but I do remember those two specific things.
Yeah, there was something I read about the nudity where like one of the actresses said they did it because it was kind of poking fun at, the nudity in horror movies, right? By going overboard with it and a little bit. And do you remember at all John Mayer being in this movie?
I honestly don't, which is incredibly weird to me, because it's like this would have been like peak John Mayer time,
I would think, yeah.
like this would have been like the one of the heights of his, like, this would have been around the time, what was that song he had, like, "Fathers Be Good to Your
Yeah,
Daughter," like,
daughters, yep.
yeah, like I'm
Yep.
pretty sure that was around the time that this came out, or at least in this vicinity. So like for him to be in a movie, like, he wasn't an unknown artist, so him being in this movie
It's
is just strange.
very weird. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know whether he was just dipping his toe in to try something different. And this is what he got. I don't know. It's odd to me. I'm not like what I would call a John. I like John Mayer. I appreciate John Mayer. But I'm not what you call like a diehard fan or anything like
Right.
that. I know his, hits. I know he's worked with the Dead, right? The group that's spun out of the remnants of the Grateful Dead. And I do my biggest thing about John Mayer is he's a very underappreciated guitarist. He is much more talented than people give him credit for, the general public. But yeah, so it does strike me. It struck me as odd as well that he was in this weird, Beaver horror movie from 2015 or 2014 or whatever. That's weird. So I don't know. I don't know. Unless he just, I mean, maybe it's a bit part. Who knows when he recorded it? I don't know. It's weird. But I'm thinking he was just probably trying to break into, doing some stuff. And I don't know. John Mayer's always struck me as a guy that's like, oh yeah, that sounds funny. Let's do it.
You're
So
right.
maybe that's what it
Sort of
is.
like a
So
fuck it, why not kind of situation.
yeah, that's how I'd be. It's like, oh, you want to talk about zombie viewers? Shit, that sounds fun. Let's do it. But yeah, I don't know. So I don't know the depths of why John Mayer was in this movie. And again, I've not seen the movie, so I don't know. He may not have had a major role. I don't know. But you get
I
lots,
don't
lot.
think I don't think he was. I think he
Probably
was a
not.
very small role.
You get that a lot, right? Where these small films that have somebody just in a bit part that end up going on to bigger stuff, and they're like, oh, this was like their first acting appearance. They were in this movie for like 30 seconds, but still, I mean, whatever. And there you have it, the cheesy slasher Zombievers, which that name makes me chuckle every time. So all right, then let's move on. Talk to us, internet. It's time for Talk to Us Internet. This is where Ike and I either respond to listener feedback from social media or we just address a social media ideal that's out there. And that's what we're doing today. Ike, I saw on social media, the good thing is this does tie to a little bit to the movie that we talk about today. Is there a believable risk of a zombie or zombie-like outbreak amongst humans? Ike, what do you think?
Well, given the current political climate, the rollbacks of vaccines and stuff, the vaccines, that'll kill you. I'll let you guys figure out who that impersonation was.
Here's the deal, man. We're not political, and I'm not, you know what? No one. Don't read into this anymore. But does RFK Jr., does he not seem like the fucking character in a horror movie
He
just
does.
by based on how he talks? I mean, no offense. I don't care what you believe and what you follow or whatever else. But dude, just the way he talks and everything else, he feels like a character out of a movie.
Oh, 100%. He sounds like the guy, the guy in the beginning of Wrong Turn where he's drinking the Pepto straight out of the bottle.
Yeah.
That's RFK.
Yeah, he kind of feels like one of those guys that was like in one of those 80s anti-smoking commercials and everything. It's like, I didn't think a cigarette, whatever else. I mean, we're not political or whatever else, but I'm sorry, but fuck RFK Jr. But anyway,
But anyway,
yeah, anyway.
to legitimately answer your question, weirdly enough, In both high school and college, I did papers for two separate biology classes about the actual likelihood of like a viral outbreak being like an actual zombie thing. And the one I did in high school was featured in our high school newsletter, just that sort of like a little under note type thing. But it obviously I'm not like a scientist. I have no interest in being a scientist. So these were very loosey goosey kind of research paper type things, just exploring the possibility of something like that happening. But in my opinion, the standard A, like the very typical version of a zombie is the virus reanimates a corpse. There's not a whole lot there, like there's not like really anything that would like do that per se. So that I don't think would happen. Now, there's like that other sort of prototypical zombie where it's like either you have like the last of the zombies that are infected by like a fungus, right? Or you have zombies like from what is it? Like REC, or what's the hell's the movie called? 28 Days Later, that are more in line with like a rage virus. Like I think in REC it was even like tied to what the hell is it called? Rabies. It was tied to rabies. So something like that, like a variant of like a rabies virus or something like that, that causes, because rabies as it is, if you get it and you get like late stage infection, you do kind of turn into a zombie, and you do attack people because you get aggressive and everything else. So, but the bad thing about rabies, or I guess the good thing, is that it's not super transmittable from humans once they're infected in the same way as if a dog were to bite a human, right? So I think the most likely outcome is something like The Last of Us, because cordyceps is a real fungus that infects ants and other insects, and it basically takes control of the insect to spread itself. Now, cordyceps has been found in mammals, not humans specifically, but mammals. I think it was like wild coyotes or something like that. So cordyceps is just a hop, skip, and a jump away from infecting humans. So I think that deserves some looking into.
Again, I kind of agree with some of that. Like in the question posed, right? The zombie, I don't know about that, but the zombie-like, that's where we're keying in on. Because, I mean, let's be real. We're in 2025. Who would have thought we'd be talking about measles? And I don't care what side of the, political climate you're on. Who would really have thought that in 2025 measles would have been a discussion? And again, I'm not, whatever your belief is, whatever about vaccines, etc. Never has there been a time when there has been less of a consensus view on this, right? Where it's been so divided. So who knows what's, who knows what's going to happen if you're not vaccinated, for these things. And again, I'm not, whatever. I'm not going to on here. I have opinions, but I'm not on here going to judge or say my opinions on those things. But no matter what side of the fence you fall on or whatever else, who knows where that's going to end up leading, right? Whether, whether it be vaccine or non-vaccine or whatever. I don't know. It's like, it's weird that, now you sit there and you think about this as something zombie-like and you're thinking, I don't know. Doesn't seem that far-fetched. It's peculiar. And, do I think, like you said, do I think it's going to reanimate the dead? No, I don't think we're there. But something with an un, you know, someone being uncontrollable with this uncontrollable aggression and rage. I mean, fuck, there's people like that that are not contaminated with anything. So it's weird. I think it's a unique time to think about something like this. Because of, again, this divide in thought. And we don't know, again, we don't know the long term or the big overall fallout of this stuff. Who knows? Who knows where it's going to lead? Again, I don't want to. I've got thoughts. I don't want to. I don't want to. I say who knows, but in my heart of hearts, I know who knows. But or I, you know, so but I'm not gonna. I'm just not gonna. So I think the fact of the matter is, given a lot of shit, could we be on the verge of some form of a catastrophe? Maybe, maybe. I mean, that's the realistic, view of it. There could be some real stuff. Who knows that that's going to
Well,
happen. So.
and the thing too to think about is that, like, while right now there isn't, any specific danger or threat of something like that, the weird thing about viruses and the weird thing about illnesses and the weird thing about disease is that it is a constantly evolving and constantly changing threat. So what is currently threatening our world, it could change. So that's what I always tell people too, is that you might think we're crazy talking about zombie outbreaks, but who knows? One day some weird, jaunt into the Amazon will yield some weird virus that's laid dormant for centuries or something,
Never know.
Exactly.
And these things, I mean, they're always evolving, right? That's why even, when you get down to like flu and whatever, I mean, flu is an evolving thing. And it's weird, man. It's so weird. I've recently, had the flu, and it's not, I mean, I've had the flu before, but it's different, right? I mean, I'm several weeks out from when I was, flu positive, and I'm still feeling shit. Right, it's like I still feel some fatigue and things like that. Doctors are telling me, "Oh, that's just this new strand of flu." Right, it takes time, and it's weird. It's weird to think of that, like that some of those lingering effects. So, who knows? Who knows? We may all be eating brains before we know it.
True.
All right, then let's move on. Horror hot take. And it's time for a horror hot take. This is where I present a strong opinion based within the horror genre. Typically, it's Ike because Ike is very strong opinionated. And
Always.
we discuss it for a moment. Yeah. So, Ike, do you have a horror hot take for us today?
I think so, and I don't think I've talked about this before. Well, I think I've talked about it before, but I've never explicitly laid it out as like a hot take or anything like that.
All right, well, bring it.
So, in my opinion, keeping in line with the zombie theme here. In my opinion, the best way to have a successful zombie movie is you need one of the following three things. You could
Okay.
have one of the following three things be a little weak in some of the other areas, but you could have one of the following three things, and you could have a fairly successful, fairly entertaining zombie movie. Okay? Number one, good looking zombies. So
Okay.
that's the first thing. If you have a zombie movie with really cool looking zombies, the rest of it doesn't matter. All right? You have that driving your entire movie because when people come for a zombie movie, they're coming for the zombies, right? So if you give me decent looking zombies, that movie already has a leg up in order for it to be a good zombie movie, right? Number two, guns. If you have a lot of guns and you're just shooting zombies left and right and you're just massacring the mobs, that is another very important trope within the zombie, I guess, codex, if you will. You got a lot of cool guns, you got a lot of people carrying guns, you got a lot of people shooting guns. You're on your right track there to have a decent zombie movie. And then number three, this is again, I'll elaborate a little more, but number three, a story. Okay. Not every zombie movie needs a story, right? But some of the good zombie movies have a really good story. You got your World War Z's that have pretty good story. You got your 28 Days Later that got a good story. But then sometimes you got Dawn of the Dead, which good movie, decent story, but really cool zombies. And you got some good gun action in there. But generally, as long as you excel really well in one of those three categories, even if the other two categories are a little weak, you got a decent movie, right? Because
Okay.
any zombie movie you watch is really strong in one of those categories and potentially a little weak in one of the other ones, but it's still good. So that's
Okay.
kind of my horror hot take.
All right. Well, do you feel that there is a zombie or any zombie movie that excels in all three?
A zombie movie that excels in all three.
Yep, that has good-looking zombies or unique zombies or whatever. Lots of guns, right? Because the accepted form is right, zombies headshot, right? So zombies, or guns are key, and then it has a unique story about it, or at least an interesting story about it. Do you feel there's a movie or any movie that jumps out that is strong in all three?
So it's not my favorite zombie movie, let me clarify. But in
Okay.
my opinion, this movie excels in all three categories, and by all metrics, is a almost a perfect zombie movie.
Okay.
World War Z, okay? Because I love a lot of other zombie movies, and I have a lot of zombie movies that I would say are above World War Z, but a lot of those are either nostalgia kicking in, or some of them are just, my personal preferences. But very specifically, World War Z, it excels because it has a story, it has a very good story, and a very easy to follow story. It has a lot of action, a lot of guns and shooting and everything else that really draws you in. It has very interesting and unique zombies. Those are the kind of zombies that, like, they're almost unsurvivable, right? Like they present a significant threat.
Now, to my knowledge, has there been, and I know there's the potential for missing something, right? Because we've not seen everything. Has there been a zombie movie pre-World War Z that presents zombies fast? The being able to run, to be quick. The typical quote unquote Romero zombie is stumbling, slower, whatever
Yeah.
else. Now, again, I'm sure there's probably something out there, but there's nothing that jumps to my mind pre-World War Z where these, the zombies are fast moving. And that adds a whole nother level to the terror to me.
Right. To me, off the cuff, 28 days later, they run, they're fast. They honestly, 28 days later is kind of on the same level because 28 days later kind of has that sort of has that what's that called the dynamic of just a single drop of blood is enough to infect you, right? Whereas a lot of other zombie movies, it's specifically the bite, right? You could actually shoot a zombie, it'll spray you, and you're not going to get sick from the spray, right? But like in 28 weeks later and 28 days later, it 100%, if you get a single drop of blood in your system in any way, shape, or form, or any bodily fluid, you're infected. And that infection takes hold like incredibly fast. And World War Z is kind of similar. I think it has a little bit more of an incubation period for infection. But those two, I think, have probably the scariest and like most unsurvivable zombie apocalypses. Because like you said, most like Romero movies, you got slow zombies, you have the Return of the Living Dead movies. Again, they're smarter, almost invincible zombies, but they're slow. And then there's plenty of other zombie movies, like you said, that they might run or jog or walk fast, but not like World War Z and the 28 Days movies and stuff.
Well, there you go. All right. So there's Ike's horror hot take, keeping in the zombie realm, zombie-ish realm. kind of the theme for the day's quote unquote. But let's take a break and allow you to stew on that zombie outtake or zombie hot take, excuse me. And when we come back, we'll have news, birthdays, and anniversaries. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spreading the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, so starting us off here, we have some Terrifier 3 news, specifically Art Attack. The dissection of Terrifier 3 is now available on Screambox. It is a 97-minute making-of documentary, of course, making of Terrifier 3. You know, I we talk about a lot how, like, you know, back in the day they used to do, like, you know, they used to do special features and commentaries and stuff like that, and they don't really do that a whole lot anymore, but it's really cool to see, like, a making of documentary come out, because that's pretty close to special features, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, this is the kind of thing that you, yeah, once would have seen on a DVD release, and it might be, I don't know, you know, this might be a DVD type release. Let me see here, because I have in my hand the Terrifier 3 Blu-ray. And let's see, this is a two disc set. So let's see what it doesn't really say. Never mind. It doesn't really have a listing what's on it, the way on the packaging. So, but it is a two disc set. So, but you're right. This is the kind of thing that would have been on a Blu-ray, on a, you know, a DVD release. And again, it might be, but it is getting a Screambox release, which is a kind of unique, right? That I think that speaks to the impact, the success of the Terrifier movies, that we're getting this documentary, this behind the scenes, this making of, which is something that would typically be a physical media bonus release. We're getting it released because there is that demand for something like this. So I've yet to watch it. It is on my list. I'm looking forward to it. I would venture to guess I will have watched it by the time our next recording, because I'm super looking forward to seeing this.
Very good. So we'll have to check that out. Like we said, it's on Screambox, and it's only an hour and a half, so pretty quick watch. But all right, moving on to Final Destination Bloodlines. It is officially rated R for strong violence and grisly accidents and language. This movie is scheduled to release in theaters on May 16th. We have talked a lot about Final Destination over the last few months, and we'll probably continue to talk a lot about it as we get more trailers and teasers and so on and so forth. Very curious where this is going to go. And this is the obligatory time where we make fun of the fact that this is called Bloodlines, and every movie these days, there's a bloodline of some sort.
So weird, because it's like, I know there was Pet Sematary Bloodlines. There was another, I don't remember what it was now. Was it Children of the Corn? I don't know. There was another movie that used
Yeah.
bloodlines around that same time, and now here we are. Final Destination, and it's weird because bloodlines, I don't know. I don't know. That didn't seem like a very Final Destination like name to me. But anyway, whatever. I don't care. Name it whatever you want. Again, what is it? Any surprise it's rated R for these? No. I mean, come on. If it's not, then fuck that movie, right? Because you know, if it's a Final Destination movie that's not rated R for strong, violent, and grisly accidents and language, then it's not
Right.
a Final Destination movie.
No.
So, this is not a surprise, but it is, you know, it's now official. And I'm looking forward to it, right? It's been, you know, it's been a bit since we've got a Final Destination. They're always fun watches. I'm hoping, you know, something, you know, creative to, I don't know the concept of the movie, but, you know, hopefully it's something fun and creative. But the fun part about Final Destination movies is seeing, how do people die? That's the fun part. And I look forward to that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we'll probably have some more information on that as we get closer to May 16th. But until then, let's move on to our upcoming
Oh, hey, we
birthday.
do
Oh,
have the
wait,
one
we
news
actually.
about Saul.
We did. I almost forgot. As I was saying that, I was like, oh, shit. So, we have the unfortunate, I guess, displeasure of reporting to you that it has been reported that Saw 11 has been canceled. Dun, dun, dun. I read this. Dave sent this over to me, and I just don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. I don't know why they're doing it. Did you see any information about the why?
It's a weird. Apparently, it's a lot of that typical stuff between producers and creators and blah 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 blah. That kind of stuff. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know what to think of it. It's peculiar to me because you and I and others kind of said Saw 10 was kind of like a breath of fresh air, right? And it felt like kind of I'm not knocking anything, but it kind of felt like it's all right. This feels more like the Saw we're used to, right? This is good. And it got people excited. And I don't know. Sometimes I guess when something's successful and something, rises from the ashes, I don't know, it caused division. I don't know. It's weird. This was just from a source that just basically was saying it's a mess, right? There's lots of people fighting and arguing. And that's where it stands now. Again, we could come back in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and they could have all kissed and made up and everything's back on. Who knows? But that's the never ending saga of horror movies nowadays. But apparently, from all indications, as of now, the Saw franchise is done for now. So who knows what happens? And it's bad because it's like, guys are getting old and stuff, and you gotta, if you're gonna use them, you gotta use them while you can. And I mean, I don't know. I hate to see this, right? Because Saw 10 was enjoyable, so I was excited to see what they would do next. And apparently, they couldn't get on the same page or something. I don't know. But as we stand now, doesn't look like we're getting that this year. So.
Yeah. So yeah, that's sad news to report, but we'll see what happens in the future. Maybe this will change. Like you said, there this stuff always changes. This is a very fluid industry we talk about. So
I mean,
we'll
look
see.
where we were with Scream, and
Yeah.
everything was dead, and who knew what was happening? And now all of a sudden, it's like they're coming out with another one, and it's like freaking all kinds of people, So who knows what it'll, It's a profitable franchise. Who knows what'll happen, around the corner? But we can only speak to what's indicated now, and as of now, it doesn't appear to be. Doesn't appear to be a go, so it is what it is.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. Like you said, Scream is a very good example of this because, like you said, we didn't think Scream was happening, and then all of a sudden it was, and then it's like maybe it isn't, and then now it definitely is. So maybe they'll get the Scream treatment. Maybe they'll get some legacy characters who come back and say, let's do this shit, but we'll see. All right, moving on to some upcoming birthday. We have March 21st, 1994. Jasmine Savoy Brown. She is known for her roles in Screams 5 through 7 and Yellowjackets. Jasmine Savoy Brown. She's a very, very talented actor. She's done a lot. Obviously, her role in Scream is very well known, and Yellowjackets is starting to get a lot of hype as well. So, I love Yellowjackets. I'm getting ready to hopefully rewatch the show so I can watch the new season that's coming out, but. She's in it, and she's really good now. So, love Jasmine Savoy Brown, very very talented.
Yeah, and like we spoke with five and six, Scream 5 and 6, I think if you go back and listen to our, I mean, talk, she was a highlight. I always enjoyed her. I enjoyed her character. I enjoyed her enthusiasm, and I'm super excited that they're finding a way for her to come back in the next one. So hopefully, I don't know. On the one hand, I say hopefully not just to kill her off, but then on the other hand, I'm like, oh, maybe hopefully to just kill her off. But whatever the case may be, I'm excited in some capacity she'll be in the next Scream. So that's fun, and I like that bridge and everything. So she's obviously very, very talented, and no matter what you thought about five and six, Scream 5 and 6, I think she was a bright spot.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But all right. Happy birthday, Jasmine. And we're now going to jump on over to some upcoming movie anniversaries. We have March 21st, 1986, Chopping Mall. So this was a fun one. I remember this was on my list a while back, and I watched it at Dave's bequests, and it was a very, very fun movie. So I can definitely say I've seen this, and I know it has Barbara Crampton in it, as well as some other pretty well-known folks from that time. And yeah, no, I like it. And this is also one of those movies you can pretty much find for free anywhere. It's like on Tubi, Pluto, Freevee, all that good stuff.
I think that, to me, at least in my mind, Chopping Mall is one of those must see. It's just one of those, it's you just got to watch it. It's fun. It is kind of the epitome of some of those 80 slasher horror type movies. And then again, I love Barbara Crampton. So if she's in it, that seals the deal for me. So you got to watch it. Great movie. Fun movie, at least.
Yeah, no, absolutely. At a minimum, it's a fun movie, but at a maximum, it's a very good movie. But very good. Moving on to March 22nd, 1985, Friday the 13th, A New Beginning. I always get these confused. New Beginning. This is after the supposed death of Jason Voorhees, and Tommy Jarvis is put in like a insane home for people, right?
This is where, the killer's the paramedic guy and
Yeah.
everything else. So, a good movie, fun movie. It's okay, but it's not your. It's not one of those I would rank high within the realm of the Friday the 13th franchise. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, and yeah, like you say, it's a little bit of a weird one compared, like you said, compared to the rest of the franchise, but it's still fun. It's just not, it's not the same as what you might expect from the franchise. So you gotta take some wins and losses with that one. But very good. Moving on to March 22nd, 2019, we have Us. This is Jordan Peele's second film after Get Out. Us is, I go back and forth on whether I like Us or Get Out more. But Us is a fantastic movie. Very, very, very good. Very, very unique film. And very trippy as well. So I can definitely say with some confidence that if you have not seen this one, I would highly, highly, highly recommend it.
I agree. I love this movie. Love it. I you know what? Jordan Peele's not made a movie yet that I dislike, in the horror realm. I don't know otherwise, but I don't know what he does. But I love Us, and you got to watch it. I think it's one of the great modern horror type movies that there is.
Yeah, I think it fits uniquely in sort of this genre of like elevated horror, I think is what a lot of people call it.
I
I
hate
would,
that term. I hate
I
that
do
term,
too.
but it is, to me, it's a really good representation of modern horror and what modern horror is, where it's not about the blood and the guts so much, but it is. I mean, it's scary. It freaks me out. So.
No, absolutely. But all right, moving on now to March 22nd of 2024, we have Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. This is a sequel to the Ghostbusters movie from 2021, I believe it was, which was just sort of like a reboot of the franchise. You know, we had the 2016 like remake type deal, and then this one kind of overhauled, and then we have the sequel. Frozen Empire, I was good. I enjoyed it. It was a little lackluster compared to the prior movie. I think the prior movie was just so good that Frozen Empire kind of paled in comparison.
I agree. It's, I mean, it's a fun entry, right? It has that fun Ghostbusters feel, but it's much in the same way that, Ghostbusters 2 is not Ghostbusters 1. Frozen Empire is not Afterlife. It is what it is. But it's all right. It's still a decent watch. It's got Paul Rudd in it, so it can't be all bad.
Right. Hey, I love Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd's a he's a I'm pretty sure he's a vampire, but I like him nonetheless.
Yeah, dude does not age.
He really doesn't, man. It's a little unnerving, but
It is.
better not let him hear you say that. He might take your blood.
Yeah.
I kid, I kid. I don't think Paul Rudd's listening to this. But
Never
Paul,
know.
hey, true, true. Hey, Paul, hit us up.
Hey, Paul, yeah, if you are listening, dude, feel free to reach out.
That's right. Oh man, like I said, he ain't listening. But if he is, hit us up and we'll give you an interview to talk about something
Love you,
that you've been
Paul.
in.
Love you,
We love you,
Paul.
Paul. You're my boy, Paul. All
Let's
right.
talk Halloween, Paul.
Let's talk Halloween. Let's talk Curse of Michael Myers.
That's right,
How much
Tommy.
did they pay you to do that? They would have had to pay me a lot.
Paul Rudd's done all these things, right? Marvel movies, whatever else. And all we'd want to talk about is Halloween.
Oh yeah, we want to talk about Halloween, and but to be fair, like I'm painfully curious about that movie because
It is, yeah.
you have the original cut of the movie, and this is again a little tangent because this is what we do here. You had the original cut of that movie, which then turned into the producer's cut, if I recall correctly. And the producer's cut was released like years after the fact. So, and it's just like typically you don't see a producer's cut, you see like a director's cut, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's weird.
So it's like I'm just curious, like what prompted the producer to say like, oh fuck, I need to make a cut of this movie. It's so fucking horrible. This is making my skin itch.
Yeah. So Paul, have your people call our people. Let's talk.
Yeah, that's right. I'd be like, either let's talk to you or let's talk to the producer if he's still alive or if she's still alive. Honestly, I don't know which producer it was that did the cut, if I'm gonna be honest with
Who knows?
you. Apparently nobody, but I kid. All right, moving on now to our last movie birthday or movie anniversary. We have March 24th, 1989. We have 976 Evil. I cannot comment on this. I've never seen this. I have not even the slightest clue as to what this is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty fun movie. I'm pretty sure it was directed by Robert Englund.
Okay.
So it's a fun movie. It's again that typical late 80s type stuff, but yeah, it's one of those that it's worth a watch, I think. It won't blow you away, but it's good enough to it's not a waste of time, so.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. It's not a waste of time. That's always a good hallmark for a lot of horror movies. It's not a complete waste of time.
Sometimes that's all you can hope, right? It's just like that wasn't a waste of time.
True. But all right. Well, that pretty much does it for our upcoming movie anniversaries. Now we have one upcoming release. The Toxic Avenger will be released in theaters on August 29th, and it is described as a horrible accident transforms downtrodden janitor Winston Goose into a evolution of hero, the Toxic Avenger. With a name like Goose, I venture to guess that your only job that you could get would be janitor. Or I don't even know, but Goose is a hell of a name.
It sure is, right? I cannot wait to watch this. Got a great cast, right? Kevin Bacon's in it. Peter Dinklage plays the Avenger. So good. And I know over St. Paddy's Day in Chicago, because they color the rivers green for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
They did a whole thing with a boat or whatever you want to call it, a ferry. They had someone dressed up as Toxic Avenger out in the rivers. So it was so much fun. I can't wait to see this. I mean, We didn't think we were getting it. Now we're getting it. Man, this is just going to be just melt horror fun with a good cast. I can't wait.
No, I absolutely. I'm very interested to see this because I had never seen the original Toxic Avenger, so that
Oh,
is
it's
something
fun.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch because, like I said,
Yeah,
never seen it before.
it's fun.
Very good. So, all right. Well, I do so believe that that does it for all of our news, birthdays, upcoming anniversaries, and releases. So, what you're gonna do now is take a small break. Go ahead and give us a subscribe on whatever platform you wish to subscribe to us on, preferably all of them. And when we come back, we will go ahead and give you our official review of Uncontained.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, we're back here on Listen to the Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing the movie Uncontained, written and directed by Morley Nelson, starring Morley Nelson, Peter O'Meara, Hayley LeBlanc, and others. The movie is described as a mysterious drifter struggles to protect an abandoned boy and his little sister from an infection that turns people into a feral-like state. The movie is now available on Screambox. I know we've gone a little bit long, kind of, I feel, with this, but so we won't go too deep into this. We will keep it still spoiler-free, even though the movie is out. And here's my thing, right, with this movie. I'm of a split mind, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't want that to be taken in a bad way. The movie overall, the ideal, the bones, the premise was very enjoyable. I liked the story. I like how they delivered. I liked, some of the development and the ideals they had about this infection, and how they delivered it. And there were some things revealed. I liked it. I liked the ideals. On the other side, to me, there were some pacing and some edit issues to me. I don't know. It was weird. There were some scenes that kind of cut back, and I don't know. There was a couple parts in it with some cuts and some whatever you want to say that struck me as weird timing and kind of awkward and kind of lost me for a minute. It's like, okay, why are they showing this now? And there were a couple of times again where the pacing of the movie was peculiar to me. I do feel like there was a little bit of the movie they could have trimmed a little. I think there was a couple of parts where they went a little longer than they had to. They had the right ideals there, the right core story, but it was almost there was a couple of points where it's like I felt like they were just trying to fill time, is what it felt like. Now, I will say this. Morley Nelson played the kind of the main guy in it. And of course, he wrote and directed. He was spectacular. I mean, he was great. Absolutely just wonderful. And his character, I loved. The kid, the main guy, I can't remember who played him, but the main boy, kid, was great. He was so good. I loved his character. I loved that he was not the atypical child, vulnerable character, right? He was that one of those a child rising up to the situation type characters. He did a great job. The little girl, right? She was fine for what she was, but to be frank, you know, it was, she was, you know, I'm not, no offense, but she was kind of a side character. But every and everybody else did it was okay, was pretty good. But there was, I don't know, again, there was a couple parts with the editing or the placement of scenes or the pacing or so, I don't know how to put my finger quite on it. That was just, it was awkward. It was weird. It was like, I don't know that they put certain things in the right spots, maybe, or if there were certain scenes that didn't need to be in there. It was the pacing and the editing at times felt, it's almost like they didn't see it all the way through. It's almost like, okay, we're at the deadline. Let's just, we got to put it out. That sounds harsher than what I intend for it to be.
Right.
Because, but it was something about the pacing. And again, I'm not a filmmaker. I don't know. I don't have the fix for this, but as a viewer, there was a couple of parts that just felt awkward to me. Some of the music choices, there was only a couple songs. Again, the choice to do the cover of Where Did You Sleep Last Night, the Leadbelly classic, great. Such that is such a powerful, spooky song. They only use some instrumental, but it was perfect. It just loved that part in there. But like I said, overall, the ideal of the movie I enjoyed, I liked. Kind of the ideal development I was with, but there were times with the pacing or the sequence of scenes or something to that effect. Just it, there were a couple points where it didn't jive right with me, and made it's like they lost me a couple points where I was invested, and then something would happen. I was like, what? I don't know. And then it's like I was trying to catch back up. It was weird. I don't know how to properly, maybe let's hear your thoughts. Maybe you're kind of in the agreement. Maybe you can voice it better than I do, but because I don't know exactly how to vocalize, verbalize what I'm trying to say here.
Right. And so let me preface it by saying that I actually really, really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. I mean, let's though, yeah, even for my faults, I thought this was a really, really good movie.
Right. So, you know, despite any potential perceived issues with the movie, like bare bones, this was a very good movie. It was very unique. They created something that, in my opinion, it's a departure from what you typically expect from a movie that is about zombies. I do like the sort of twist, if you will, where the people who are infected are basically they can be one of two classes of infected. And it had a nice little cliffhanger at the end, if you will, kind of in relation to, you know, how the infected work. So,
Yeah, and I will say the whole ending of the movie was just beautiful. It was great. It was wonderful. It pulled at all the right strings. It was what you should have done with the ending of the movie. The way they wrapped things up and ended it, spot on, perfect. I love the ending and how they did it.
And so, you know, that part of it was good, right? That aspect of the movie was good. And you kind of mentioned it, and I kind of see where you're going, that it almost felt too unpolished for it to be the if you could say like the final product, you know what I mean? There felt like there was a couple of unpolished parts that sort of removed you from the, I guess you could say, the investment to the film, sort of the what's the word I'm looking for? It kind of takes you out of it in a way.
Yeah, it's like there was parts where you were really diving in, you were really getting pulled into it, and then they were like, it was like it's like there was a cut to a different scene, and while it applies to something happening, it was like it was kind of awkward timing to put a couple of scenes, and it like kind of pushed you back out of the movie, and then they had to bring you back in. It's like they had you, and then they like let you go. And it just felt weird. I don't know. It's again, like I said, it's hard to verbalize.
It is, because you don't want to say it's a bad movie. You don't even want to,
Yeah,
give
it's not
that
it.
impression, I think this is what I would say. This movie struggles with what a lot of films in this kind of generation struggle with, and it's that they have to really rely on creativity to really push whatever it is that they're going for. And then sometimes, in the pursuit of being creative, you do lose a little bit. And to me, what this movie lost was cohesiveness.
Yeah.
And that's not to say it was a bad movie, because quite frankly, it's one of the better zombie movies I've seen in a good while.
Yeah.
It was very unique and very, very creative, but it was almost to its detriment that it was creative. And quite frankly, I don't really know. I couldn't tell you what they needed to do differently.
Well, it felt like there was the B storyline of this, right? Which most movies have kind of that sub story. Which the sub story to this, the B story, whatever you want to call it, I don't know how you label that stuff. It was important in the grand scheme and towards the end, right? But it's almost like there was a couple of points where they cut to that to have some development there that didn't, it's like, you didn't really need that development. It was like, it was almost redundant a little bit. It's like, we don't really need to, we don't need to revisit that and those characters because you're only, there's nothing new. It wasn't like it was new. You know what I mean? It's again, to not give away spoilers, that's the best I can say. Is like there was a couple scenes where they cut to that secondary.
The secondary story.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, but okay, you cut to it, and I don't feel like it added anything to it. And it so therefore it overall it felt like you were distracting me from the main story, which I didn't like. It's a, it, and I can get the mindset, I guess, that right, you want to make sure you don't forget that secondary story. I can understand, I guess, the thinking, but it just, it didn't, I don't know. I don't, it felt off in some way, but I can't put my finger on to say, this is what you should have done that made it felt better. I don't know. It's like, and again, like you said, I don't want to be overly critical and say what I'm saying is not to say that this was a bad movie because it wasn't a bad movie. I enjoyed the movie a lot. But that did jump at me a little bit. That point, and that's to me is the only thing in any form of a negative thought that jumped. Everything else, I can't complain about.
And that's kind of what I was going to kind of jump to next, is that you sort of have this weird paradigm with this movie specifically that you don't really get with some other movies, is that you kind of don't want to be super critical of it either, because you can tell they put a lot of really good work into this. And it's not to say that I won't be critical, right? It's just that we want to be careful, because I don't want it to come across like I'm really like shitting on this movie, because I genuinely can say that this is one of the most creative movies that I have seen in a good while. This is one of the most creative zombie movies that I have seen probably in the last, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years maybe, depending on how crazy you want to get. So we don't want this to come across like this is a bad movie. It's
Yeah.
not that this is a bad movie. It's just that there was something missing, and
And
maybe it's
it,
because it was low budget. Maybe it was
yeah.
because it was an indie film. Who knows?
And it's so peculiar because, like, what you pointed out about it, almost feeling like it wasn't polished enough. But then it's like, but then there's like, overall, the movie felt a notch or a step above most indie films as far as the acting and the, and the directing. In the presentation, and it felt a little more major studio than a lot of independent films in
It
lots of
did.
ways. But then there was this, it's almost like, it's almost like, oof, It's like you were there. But what, it's like, could you, what, maybe another pass? Or at the editing? I don't know. It's weird because I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the fix. I
You're
don't know
right.
what to, what they say, what they could have done. It's like I can't say, oh, this scene should have been cut or this scene should have been. It's like, I don't know. But there was just a couple of points where it's like you're at this level. And then it's like there was a couple of parts where it's just like, yeah, it brought you down a little. And rem I don't know. It was so peculiar.
Well, and the thing about it too is you also you're in that weird predicament where there was a lot of really cool stuff in the movie. And there was a lot of cool stuff that they were able to do successfully. So on one hand, you don't want them to go back and change anything, right? You don't want them to make any significant changes that's going to really alter the things that we did like. But then it's like, on the other hand, what can we tell them to, quote unquote, change and not take away from the product that we did get? Because truthfully, while there were some issues, I just don't know. Like you said, it's one of those, we're not filmmakers, right? We're not the people who make these movies. We're just two dudes who review movies. We talk about horror movies. We talk about, these different projects and everything else. So that's really our ex the extent of our involvement in this industry is just shit talking, basically. So we can't really say, yeah, you should have done this. Like, no, like, I don't know.
And it almost, here's my thing. At the end of the day, what it really makes me feel is of this sense of, okay, that was through, that was my initial watch. That's the way it came across to me.
Right.
I wonder what it would be like if I watched it again. Would I feel the same? Or would those scenes not jump as much? Those, it's almost like that. Was it because it was just that initial watch? Because
Sure.
sometimes movies do that. It's so peculiar. And I know that sounds, all this sounds like is weird, almost non-committal by us, but it's like I don't know how to put my finger on it. Because I really enjoyed the movie, but it just felt like a couple of pieces were off somehow. But I don't know quite how. And then I wonder if you change that though, would I feel differently about the movie overall? And
Exactly.
it's this weird conundrum of, I don't know. Maybe they got it exactly right, and it's okay the way it is. Because as an independent type film, this really jumps out as one of the better ones we've watched. And we watch a lot of movies on Screambox and Shudder and other platforms and other releases and whatever. And this one kind of stands out as one of the better ones we've seen.
It does.
So maybe there, maybe it, I don't, it's weird. Something felt off, but I it's like I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's just me.
Right.
It's just
But
could be.
at the same time, I kind of felt it too. Like I kind of had that little bit of that thought, like, maybe there is something that was off. Maybe there is something that, could have been different. But like you said, I wouldn't change it. I think the product that we got was unique and it satisfied that zombie, that zombie love that we have.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, man, Morley Nelson, great concept, great idea.
Yes.
Overall, great delivery. I can't deny that. And on top of that, his acting, man, he was great. He was absolutely great in this movie. And
Oh,
again,
yeah.
I know he follows us on social media, right? There's been some interactions between us. And I'm hoping, I'm hoping he's going to listen. And want our feedback on it. Morley, I hope we're on a first name basis here. I can't knock you, man. You made a great movie. You made a really good movie. So whatever's bugging me, it could just be bullshit. Don't worry about it. I don't know.
Exactly.
Because whatever's kicking around in my mind, it didn't take away so much from my enjoyment of the movie. I still like the movie. But I don't know, there's just something I don't know. But overall, what it makes me, if I'm bottom lining it, I can't wait to see what he does next then. It's like, it's almost like that thing, okay, well, he did this and it was pretty damn good. Something bugs me, but whatever it is, man, what will we do next? It's like there's a an obvious some obvious talent here. And whatever. And so I mean let's just get to it. Again, I like the movie. I really did. For whatever my unspeakable concerns are that I can't formulate, they're not overwhelming. It's not even it doesn't take away from the overall enjoyment of this movie. Again, the acting was great, the idea was great. Again, all the camera work, the shots, the all that was perfectly told the story. And again, the ending was it was great, right? And this was in a very difficult realm of horror, i.e., zombies. This felt pretty original. It had a lot of uniqueness to it, and that's difficult to do in this. So hats off. So let's rate this thing again. I don't know. I gotta say, right? We always say threes are middle of the ground. We enjoy the movie, but it's not unexpected. But I again, this even for my questions, concerns, this still felt a little bit better than that to me. So I'm gonna have to give this, I think, a 3.5 out of 5. Because even with some of these nagging whatever it is in my head, I still enjoyed the movie a little more than I think than a lot of movies that we watch, independent or not. I mean, I think this was just a touch better than that middle of the ground. So, Ike, what are you thinking? Out of 5 screams, what are you thinking about giving it?
Well, before I read, I want to mention, I was looking at Morley Nelson's IMDb page, and he wrote part of the story, I guess, or some part of the story for the Walking Dead Survival Instinct game,
Oh, yeah.
and then the Men in Black Alien Crisis game for the Xbox 360.
Well.
Well, first of all, the Walking Dead game, it's like one of those like love-hate relationship type things, because it's not like really polished. That game is not very polished at all. But that's nothing to do with the story. It's a really good story. It's just not a very polished video game. Men in Black Alien Crisis, it's actually a game I played years and years and years ago. So it's just funny that he's connected to it in that way. But beyond that, on the subject specifically of Uncontained, even if it has that little itching in the back of your brain where you're like, okay, there's something that is missing, or there's something that needed to be tweaked, or whatever the case may be, it's still a very, very fantastic movie. It has all the hallmarks of a zombie movie, but it also has that creativeness that changes sort of the dynamic of a horror movie, right? You have the different types of infected, you have the different storylines, and you have the different it's a very different idea of what a zombie is. So even with our potential bullshit issues, this is still a 3.5 out of 5 easily. And maybe upon rewatch, this will be a 4. Who knows? But at least on my initial watch through of this movie, 3.5 out of 5 seems like a good rating, because I enjoyed it a lot. I cannot say I didn't like it. So that's where I would leave it.
All right, there you go. Then the consensus, 3.5 out of 5. Again, I know we stammered about, but it is a good movie. So everybody go watch it on Screambox. I really recommend it a lot. So next episode, we will be reviewing the movie Bloody Axe Wound, which I think we discussed a little bit or previewed a little bit in last week on a previous episode. But the movie is available March 21st on Shudder, so make sure you watch it before you listen to our episode, and that will be on next week for us. We'd like to say thank you to the wives and all of you listeners and followers for your support and everything else that you give us, be sure, like I said earlier, to subscribe to us on social media. We are on pretty much all of the platforms. Just search for Listen to Their Screams, or just Listen, the number two in Screams, and you will find us there. So before we get out of here, Ike, anything you want to add?
I normally have something quippy to say. You know, there's always something going on. Just don't catch measles if you can. That'd be my parting words for you. Just try not to get the measles as best you can. I hear they're not fun. So other than that, just, you know, as always, you know, stay safe out there. World is getting crazier by the day. So just, you know, do what you can do. And yeah, you know, we'll keep on doing what we do. We'll review horror movies and shoot the shit about what's going on in the horror world.
That's right. And like we said, no matter what side of any fence you fall on, just fucking don't be a dick, right? Just be nice to people no matter what. Even if you have a difference of opinion, just be nice. All right. There's no need to be a prick. So be nice. So that's all I got to add. So until next week, when we'll be reviewing the movie Bloody Axe Wound, which will be available soon on Shudder. Wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.